I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Is your faith obvious? Like, is it just so obvious? Is it so easy to see? Probably not. Probably not. Unfortunately, our faith is often hidden underneath layers and layers of less pressing matters that just make us believe that they deserve our urgent attention just because they're so annoyingly noticeable. Right? It's the soccer schedule. It's the shopping list. It's the bank account. It's the birthday party and the long list of other distracting duties that make up our daily lives. All of these things, they just subtly steal our attention piece by piece until suddenly we can't see anything else. And we don't even realize how blind we have become. And that is a big problem. It's a big problem when the stuff that we can't see contains the secrets to staying alive, right? And that's what faith is, because letting life steal focus from our faith is like letting cooking steal focus from our eating. That's stupid. Okay? That is stupidly self-defeating. The whole purpose of cooking is to eat, right? I'm trying to really make it as simple as possible. It's the whole purpose you cook is to eat. And in the same way, the whole purpose of life is to have faith, right? That's what we're cooking up down here, is some of that faith. And so we need a way to keep our attention aimed at the right thing. Or another way to say that is, we need to control our cues. Because as we talked about last week, our habits, right, the things that we do all the time, the little things that we do every single day, our habits drive our identity through this loop. Remember this loop from last week? That's how we live. This loop of cues, cravings, responses, and rewards. That's just how we do our day-to-day life. And if we can keep a habit consistent, right, that same little loop over and over, well, then each little loop becomes this tiny step that just compounds over time to become this one gigantic jump. That's what we are doing here, right? We are just trying to take the little and make it huge. So no wonder, since this is true about everything, no wonder God has recommended making obvious reminders to make these obvious cues since the very beginning. You ever notice this scripture? He says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Okay? How do we do that? Well, start off, impress them on your children. Talk about them, you know, when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. And come to think of it, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them on your hands, as a matter of fact. Noah, you're doing a great job. Way to go. Look at all these bracelets. Tie them on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads, for crying out loud. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. You get it? Everywhere, all the time. Why? Because you need to be careful that you do not forget the Lord. I mean, does he know humans or what? That is us. God is saying, you need to see me constantly if you want to stay close to me consistently. Because he built us. He designed us. And he knows exactly how easily distracted we are. It's like we just talked about a few weeks ago, right? This is so us. Life is just filled with nonstop noise that can completely derail our devotion. Which means to make our faith unforgettable, we have to make it unavoidable. So today we are picking up. We are going to return to James Clear's Principles of Change from the book Atomic Habits. And we're going to nail down 7 more key ideas to make our faith so obvious that it becomes an inescapable part of each and every day. So we just can't walk past it. And just like last week, here's the good news. We're already halfway through our first key, because number one, what you see is what you seek. Okay? It's just true. What you see is what you seek. Why do grocery stores put candy at checkout? Those jerks. Why do they put it at checkout? Easy answer. So you'll buy it, right? Not because you came for it, but just because you saw it. Because that is all it takes for your brain to say, ooh, me want that, right? That's all it takes. It's called an impulse item, and we love them. We love them. I'll be there, and I'll be like, oh, People Magazine, who wants that? Ooh, what is she wearing? Let's find out. Like, maybe I do, you know? Those things, right? Those things, they just put them right in front of your eyes. Those are the cues, right? Those are the cues that remind us of a reward that we can crave. And we love that so much. And since cues command our actions, right? Like, I had no intention. I'm here to buy, you know, laundry detergent, and then I'm leaving with all this candy and stuff. And it's because it can command our actions, visibility drives our spirituality. Because the body was built for the spirit, right? It's the vehicle for our spirit. And your eye is the lamp of the body. Right? So when your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light, right? That's the good stuff that's going in there. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. Okay? That's the People Magazine, I guess, in this. That's the stuff that you don't want in there. So now, our eyes may decide what the rest of us does by reminding us of the rewards that we want, but how they see heavily depends on what they see. Right? This is that whole garbage in, garbage out idea. How they see depends on what they see. So if faith ain't in our field of vision, it won't be part of our daily decisions. But that's actually really good news, because that principle means we can pick impulse items to put on our path. Don't you wish it looked more like that? I'll get a couple of cases of generosity, you know, this week. That'd be great. Don't look too close at it. I had AI do this, and so some of them are like blurgiveness and stuff. They're still working it out. But you get the idea. So, yes, we can actually pick the things to put, you know, the impulse items to put on our path. So we can actually choose the cues to guide our eyes. And that's thanks to key number two. What you design is what you do. Okay? And there's this great story about how Dr. Ann Thorndike put this idea to the test. She's a doctor at, I think, Massachusetts General Hospital. And she and her colleagues were getting really frustrated by all the unhealthy habits that they were seeing at their hospital's cafeteria. They're like, we're trying to save these people, and then we're poisoning them with all this garbage at the same time. And so they got together, and they were trying to come up with a way, how can we motivate change? How can we get them to stop having all this garbage? And the first thing they targeted was all the soda they were drinking and everything, right? So they decided, maybe we can change it without having to, like, convince them, right? So they decided to try and motivate change by just quietly rearranging where the water was, okay? The left, the blue, that's where the water was. It's these two spots in the corner, right? You had to go out of your way to go get the water. Then they just said, let's just put it everywhere. They put baskets of water by checkout. They put them everywhere. Nothing else, right? That's it. They just moved it. No signs, no speeches about how you got to drink more water, nothing. Just visibility. And guess what? Soda sales dropped by 11.4% immediately, while water shot up over 25%. We're that dumb. We're that dumb. It's just, you know, we go, why? Why did that happen? And here's the answer. Because obvious options steal our attention to change our intention. It just naturally happens. I mean, it's just right there, so why not, right? That's so much of us. We think that way. It's just right here. Just do it, right? And as Clear puts it, he says, wonderful quote, environment is the invisible hand that shapes human behavior, okay? You don't even realize it's happening, you know? We get tricked into it. In fact, I found this out this week. The words habit and habitat, they share the same Latin root because they both relate to their impact on identity. You know, what's around you and what you do just makes you who you are. And so I say all that because here's the big takeaway. Design beats discipline. That is good news for some of us without the self-discipline. Design beats discipline every time. And rather than relying on our weak willpower, we can set up our surroundings for spiritual success. That's why we were told to literally, I mean, let's go back to that scripture, literally write God's commands on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, right? Put them everywhere. Have you ever heard of a mezuzah? You ever heard of one of these? Oh, it's great. You'll notice them now. You'll see them out in public and stuff. A mezuzah, it's a small scroll of scripture that Jewish homes literally attach to their door frames. The word mezuzah just means door frame. So they put a little scroll of scripture in there, and you know what scripture they put in it? They put the scripture that says to put the scripture on your door frame. And I'm like, that's the one scripture you don't need to remember. You're doing it right now, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, but they put it on the door frame to remind them so that every single time they enter or exit, they touch or kiss the little mezuzah to remind them routinely every single day of God's presence and his commands. You know, you're just leaving. You're like, oh, that's right, Lord, I'm taking you with me. And they do this because God wasn't kidding. He was not kidding. Earthly environments can shape our spiritual habits. Just that. Little reminder when you go out into the world. That's right, taking God with me. And since these visual cues carry the biggest influence over our behavior, a very small change in what we see can create a big change in what we do. Which is more good news when we realize what God was getting at the entire time. He's saying, you don't have to be the victim of your environment. You can be its architect, right? You can use it. So forget the water and just imagine what would happen if you made more opportunities for faith more visible. Put that in a basket next to the cash register, right? Just like scripture says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Right? Like, it's got to be around you all the time. Bind them around your neck. We were talking about this between services, like people who wear cross necklaces and stuff. It works. It helps. It's a reminder. They see you. You see yourself. And you just go, I got God with me. That's right. I am who I am, right? Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight, right? Because that is how we can preserve sound judgment and discretion. Got to have it right in front of your eyes all the time, which is, again, great news because that means that you don't need to be hyper-disciplined. You just need to design your space to support your spirit. Okay? You can do it. You can do it. So put a Bible in your bathroom. Okay, you're going to go there and put a Bible in your bathroom, wear a sweater with a scripture, or set aside some specific prayer space. Whatever you do, that is what we're going to call environmental discipleship. Okay, environmental discipleship. You can get so much done by just tweaking your environment. And it just means making the cues for your faith hard to miss. You know, set them up to be right in front of your eyes, which brings us to key number three. You got to use what you got, all right? Right now, the way that it is, we've talked about this before. Remember, atomic faith is built on these small, sustainable changes, not these monumental moves, right? That's how we burn out. If we try to go too big, too fast, it all falls apart. So we're trying to make these small, sustainable changes. So we are not trying to change everything all at once. No, we're just trying to change one thing, our identity, okay? So that means you can still have the same job. You can still have the same Starbucks routine. You can still have the same hobbies. Everything can stay mostly the same. We are just encouraging our new identity to slowly influence our old life by stacking these new reminders onto our existing everyday rhythm, right? Just the way that you already live, just put it on top. It's what James Clear in the book calls habit stacking, right? Habit stacking, we talked a little bit about that. But he didn't invent it. God did, actually. And he called it circumcision. Okay, think about it, all right? I mean, that is the original habit stack, okay? Because I shouldn't act it out. I'm trying not to. I speak with gestures, and I shouldn't make that gesture. But that's the original stack because it was one little change, and all of a sudden, tons of old routines all became brand new cues, right? Because for guys, taking a bath, using the restroom, making a baby, seeing a doctor, all of them, all of a sudden triggered one reminder. I belong to God, Right? It was a sign of the covenant. I belong to God. You cannot. Now that's faith. I mean, that's good. And again, let me say, I'm not recommending that we need to start like tattooing ourselves or doing anything physical necessarily, but God did. So there you go. So the moral of the story is whatever you do, whether in word or deed, find a way to remind yourself to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, just stack it on in there. You can put it in there. Seriously, it's really doable. You can still take a hike. You can still take out the trash. You can still take a vacation. Just take your faith everywhere you already go. Right? It's that easy. Just invite Jesus to be a part of it. Stack him into your routine. Have you all noticed how we have scripture always playing in our bathrooms here? Have you guys, if you've ever used the bathroom here, it's just always going. And throughout the entire week, it is always going. And it's on the wall as well. You see some backward writing, and then you look in the mirror, and then you see it's a verse, you know, behind you, so that you just, your eyes are drawn to it, right? That is the idea. And I know it works, one, because I work here, and so it's like all the time, it's everywhere, and I started doing it, same in my car and all this stuff, but I know it works because between his car stereo, his bathroom radio, his yard work headphones, and hot tub speaker, I have watched Bruce slowly saturate every single routine that exists with a way to read the Bible. And it is really quite a sickness. I mean, I'm here, I'm advocating it and everything. I know. It really is. That's for another sermon because, like, there's a way to do it, but then you still have to be, you know, in the world. And he's just like, sometimes I'm like, am I where he's like, yeah, I'm projecting scripture on your chest in my mind. You know, I'm like, Bruce, be here with you. Anyway, but that's another sermon. I'm not asking for us to be Bruce crazy. All I'm asking us to do is to find one routine task, right, that we already do, one regular walk, one pre-existing practice, and just add your holy habit to it. Okay, like we picked one last week, just one little thing, one 2-minute thing that you want to do, and then just, you know, make it a part of that pre-existing practice, because faith spreads fastest when it gets grafted into what we are already growing. Okay, I mean, we all know that, right? Like, because if you had to plant it and water it and wait, we would just walk away. We're just, you know, we don't have the patience for that. But you can hit the ground running. You can graft it into what you are already growing. And to make sure that your faith finds that fertile soil, well, we need key number 4, which is to call your shot. You got to call it out, okay? Let's be real. Most of us don't need more motivation. We just need a plan, right? We need a way to walk it. And since we all know that we need that plan, we have studied it a lot. And one study tried to nail down what actually works to get people to increase their exercise, right? Like trying to find out what we can motivate them in all these different ways. What actually gets us to make the change? And so they took a bunch of people and they divided them into 3 groups. And group number 1 just tracked when they worked out, right? So they just had something to keep them accountable. They tracked it. Group 2 got a motivational speech about working out before they worked out. You know, the old coach, like, we can do this. Come on, you know, Biggest Loser. You're the champ, boss, whatever. I don't know. That's why I'm not a coach. You're the champion, slugger. You know, that's all I got. But group number 3 simply filled in the blanks of one simple sentence. And it said, I will exercise at blank time, on blank day, at blank place. They just had to fill it in. Just fill in the time, the day, and the place that they were going to work out. And that group more than doubled the others in exercise with an unheard of 91% follow through. 91% of the people who said that they were going to work out just because they wrote down the time and place actually went and did it. And it was like in the 40% for the others. Why? Because clarity creates consistency, right? You got a plan. It's not make-believe. It's right there in front of you. Clarity creates consistency because a real plan with a purpose beats mere intention with emotion every single time. Right? Like we all have the intention with emotion. It's not going to happen. And Proverbs agrees with this, been banging this drum since the beginning, saying the plans of the diligent, get that? The plans of the diligent lead to profit as sure as the haste leads to poverty, right? Haste leads to poverty. It's not about being rigid. It's just about being realistic, right? We're not doing this to just make sure we, you know, create all these boundaries. It's just giving you a realistic plan. Because if we don't call our shot, chances are we won't take it. That is just part of human nature, right? If we don't say we're going to do it, we definitely won't. So we have to set up the specifics, or what Clear calls implementation intentions, okay? Implementation intentions. Instead of vague goals without details like, I'm going to read my Bible sometime tomorrow. Instead, they sound like this. I will read the first chapter of the book of Proverbs at 6:30 a.m. in the blue chair behind the window with my coffee. Really, really lay it out. There you go. You got it. Because the best way to stack a habit is to schedule a habit. We got to give our faithful habit a real habitat where it can take root and get growing, right? And we have to really be intentional about that. So get a journal or grab some habit trackers, which I just got done this morning just in time. There's some habit trackers in the back by the transcripts. Grab them, put your habit on it, and start marking those X's of how you're doing, right? And then just lay out the specific action that you're doing, the specific time, and the specific place where you intend to implement your new faithful habit. And again, I'm going to say it a million times, because I want us to remember that this is all to make it easy. The size is not important. Okay? The size of the faith that you're trying to get going is not important. It can be something as simple as, I will pray for my kids after brushing my teeth at night. Right? You can just attach it to this thing that you already do. You can just go brush, brush, brush. Oh, Lord, they're yours, not mine. Thank goodness, because I can't stand them right now. But you do, and that's why you're God and I'm not, and I love them, blah, blah, blah. And you can be like, there, did it. That simple. Or you can be more specific about something, you know, and you can say, I will volunteer at the His Place youth group on Wednesday at 5:30. I hear they always need leaders. See how I worked that in there? But whatever it is, put it on your calendar, right? It just needs to be realistic and specific for it to stick. That's one of the big secrets why habits don't work, right? Is because they just have to be realistic and specific. Because we don't just drift into devotion. We plan for it. Okay, it has to be deliberate. We don't drift into it. And part of that plan also takes key number 5, which is kill the clutter. Oh, this one is a good one for me to hear, right? Kill the clutter. A lot of us know about this one because bad influences have a way of obstructing good intentions, right? And faith can struggle to find a foothold in our routine if it's being drowned out by other recurring distractions, of which there are many. Curse you, Seahawks. The Seahawks, like, that's one of those that's so hard for me. On Sunday, I want all these things, and I got great plans, and then you just hear Steve Rabel saying, oh, he's broke off another run, and I am just like, what's that? And then I forget everything. So, yes, but you gotta be deliberate, set aside that time, et cetera, et cetera. You gotta cut some of those things out. But distraction isn't always disobedience. Sometimes it's just poor design, okay? Like, remember, we can design our spaces. If I don't have a TV or a radio, the Seahawks can't get to me. So sometimes you just have to design better. Now, my daughter and I have an ongoing argument about how to best do homework. And she insists that she works very well in the kitchen while people are watching TV in the living room. Which is why, and I kept arguing, I said, I don't think that's true. So, which is why I read the research that debunked multitasking, like we talked about a few weeks ago, saying as much as you want to believe that you can do two things, you physically can't. right? But since she didn't listen to that sermon and she still sits at that table, and I look back sometimes and she's watching TV and then I see her pencil start moving like she's acting like she can do it. Since she wasn't there for that sermon, let me repeat what science has already proven time and time again. Competing cues kill both clarity and consistency. Okay, we can't divide our attention. It just cannot happen. It just doesn't work. It puts an end to our clarity and consistency. So if we want our faith to flourish, let us throw off everything that hinders, right? Get it out of the way. Get it out of your life, because that is the key that will let us run with perseverance, that consistency, with perseverance, the race that is marked out for us. That's the design. If we want to consistently keep our specific strategies for spiritual growth on track, it is important to clear the way of any anticipated obstacles that are coming up, right? We got to get them out of the way. So for heaven's sake, silence your phone. Right? And first and foremost, silence your phone before any attempt to focus on your faith and get everything else out of the way that you know is going to get in the way of it. Because sometimes making faith obvious might just mean making other things less obvious, right? It's just that sometimes to turn the volume up on something, we just have to turn the volume down on everything else. Which brings us to another environmental key. Number 6, crowdsource your cues, okay? I don't think that we can say this enough. Remember, this is the whole principle of this series. We are not trying to be more faithful. That's not what we're doing. We are trying to be a person who has faith. Okay? It's totally different. We're just adopting an identity. And if our environment shapes the cues that consistently shape you, well, then we need to account for the impact of all the people who are part of our environment, right? Because look, they're everywhere. They are everywhere. And just like psychologist David McClellan famously concluded, we become the average of our 5 closest friends. I did a whole sermon on this. I love that idea, and it's so true. You can see it. We become the average of our 5 closest friends. And that doesn't mean we have to cut everybody else out. It just means we have to be deliberate about who we bring in. Just like the Bible has been saying from the beginning, bad company corrupts good character. Right? It's the truth. It's just, we rub off on each other, right? You leave an impact. So what can you do? Well, just like your environment, you can redesign your social setting. Okay, as Clear suggests, and again, I love the way he puts this, he says, why don't you just join a culture where your desired behavior is the normal behavior, right? Just the thing that you want to be a part of, go hang out with people who already do that. But gee, that begs the question, where, oh where, could we find a group of people who help us put faith in front of our eyes? Who on earth could that possibly be? If only there was a dedicated community whose whole purpose was sharing Christian cues. Wait a sec. Hobby Lobby. I mean his place. His place, right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because we know it, right? That's what the church is for. The church environment was engineered for spiritual support. We're a big support group of people trying to change 2 minutes at a time. That's it. And we're all here to remind each other of that. And fellowship has always been a focus of faith. Because faith isn't just taught, it is caught. And you catch what you're close to. We got to be around each other, right? So surround yourself with friends who are aimed at the same holy habits that remind you of the identity that you're adopting. I got to tell you, you guys are the best for that, because most of you are way better people than I'll ever be. And so the more I'm hanging around you, I just see all the things that I'm not and going, that's what I'm aiming for. Yep, to be patient and kind. Look, listen, you're all listening to me right now. I'm doing what I always do. Talk. But you are teaching me how to listen by just being so good and disciplined. So good job. You're changing me right now. You gotta be a part of that community though, because that is how we carry out key number 7. Trigger yourself. Okay, you got to trigger yourself, because we can redesign our space, we can stack our habits, and we can clear all the clutter, but we won't start living by faith until it's just too obvious to ignore. Right? We're still just humans. We will find a way around it. We have to make it too obvious to ignore. So here is the challenge for this week for all of us. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Okay? Set up some unavoidable triggers to remind you of your new faithful routine, right? Like last week, we just had you pick one under 2 minute thing that you want to change, right? Just one little habit that you want to adopt. And then pick one place this week, one place that you already visit every single day, and then use it to make that one holy habit visible. Okay, so if it was scripture reading that you wanted to do, try the Bible in your bathroom. You know you're going to spend 2 minutes in there, so just put it in the bathroom. If it's gratitude that you want to practice, then put reminders on your refrigerator so that every time you open it, it's a reminder. Oh, I got to thank you, Lord, for all this abundance. I'm going to open this fridge, and I can't believe I get to have all this stuff. Look at that. Whatever it is, just get it in your eyesight to trigger yourself for six more days. Six more days, and then come back here next week so that we can talk about how to become even more proactive by making our faith irresistibly attractive. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we thank you for designing our lives with infinite opportunities to be reminded of your powerful, powerful love. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you make our faith unavoidable by helping us to set cues that point to you, to anchor our identity in your daily presence. And Lord Jesus, we love you for being the word on our doorposts and the friend in our fellowship and the light in our line of sight. And we thank you for making God so obvious to make the habits of our heart obedient. And everybody said to that, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.